This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The makers of a powerful new painkiller called Zohydro were in Massachusetts federal court today asking a judge to lift a statewide ban on the drug.
Governor Deval Patrick banned the prescription and sale of the hydrocodone-only drugs, I should say, including Zohydro, late last month. Patrick pointed to the state's growing opiate addiction epidemic and the fact that Zohydro can be easily crushed, then snorted or injected as reasons for the ban. Judge Raya Zobel declined to rule today, meaning the ban still stands, as does controversy over how such potent new painkillers should be regulated. Joining us now with more is Judy Foreman. She's author of A Nation in Pain, Healing Our Biggest Health Problem, and a frequent contributor to WBUR's Common Health blog. Judy, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about Zohydro itself. I read that it's at least five times more potent than other similar hydrocodone-only drugs currently on the market.
Probably not the at least, but yes, five times. Some of the press reports have said 10 times, and that's not true. It is potent, but so are a lot of the other drugs out there. So it's, according to the FDA, not really basically more potent than other stuff that's out there.
Okay. On the other hand, getting the FDA approval wasn't the easiest thing in the world for the makers of Zohydro, because even though the FDA did give it formal approval last October, an advisory committee voted against it 11-2, and if I understand correctly, a huge coalition of healthcare doctors and addiction treatment programs really wrote some powerful letters to the FDA saying they didn't think the drug should be approved.
Yes, and they've since protested wanting the FDA to reverse itself and take it back off the market. Their argument, the people who are most concerned about addiction, make the argument that the last thing we need is yet another opioid on the market. And that obviously makes a lot of common sense. On the flip side are the pain patients who are worried that cracking down on the addicts and the drugs themselves will deprive them of access that they actually legitimately need to the drugs. Mm. So it's really a tough balancing act, and I don't think we've gotten it right yet.
Okay, so I want to talk in a minute more about what the pain patients that you were just mentioning. But I do want to mention like the specific language that some of the opponents to the Zohydro approval used. I mean, I'm seeing a note here from this coalition that included, again, 40 groups that wrote to the FDA, in the midst of a severe drug epidemic fueled by overprescribing of opioids, the very last thing the country needs is new, dangerous, high-dose opioids. And someone else said, Dr. Andrew Kolodny, I believe, president of the advocacy group, said, it will kill people as soon as it's released. Is there any validity to their concerns?
Well, Dr. Kolodny is very, very outspoken. He is the leader of the faction, if you will, against these and other long-acting opioid drugs. So he is kind of on the far edge of that movement. Any drug can kill people. I don't know that there's any greater risk with Zohydro than any of the other things that's already out there. I guess that's basically my point.
Mm. It seems as if some people are saying that they do believe there's greater risk. But as we pointed out, the FDA has approved the drug. It seems as if what was argued in court today is that the Massachusetts ban on this drug and other hydrocodone-only drugs may be a first in the nation.
Yes, but we could also be way out there. I mean, to my mind, it doesn't really make sense for any governor in Massachusetts or anywhere else to sort of try to second guess the FDA, because they did, controversial as it was, they did go through a long process at the FDA, and they also did write a report saying they thought that the drug was safe and effective. Obviously, people are arguing about that, but I don't really think it's right for a governor to do it, because it really is a public health problem, not a governance problem.
Mm. I'm reading sort of reporting from out of federal court today, and it seems as if under questioning from Judge Zobel, lawyers from the state acknowledged that they were unable to find another example of a state banning an FDA-approved drug. But on the other hand, Governor Patrick has said he believes that the state does have an emergency regarding the opioid addiction epidemic.
Yes, we actually have two public health emergencies going on. One is the issue of chronic pain, which is huge. It affects 100 million Americans, not all in severe pain, but many. And then we have the drug addiction problem, particularly from prescription opioids. So we can't really address only one of those two things. They're two colliding epidemics, basically. That's sort of my point.
Right. You know, you mentioned the chronic pain sufferers a little
right.
earlier in our conversation. And the makers of Zohydro say it's going to enter the market classified as a Schedule II drug. and they're confident that it won't contribute to a broader overdose problem, that they'll be able to work with doctors who specialize in prescribing these kinds of drugs. So what kind of patients are we talking about?
Well, actually, the company, Zogenix, is actually arguing that it won't add to the drugs on the market. It will substitute for some, because the key thing about Zohydro is that it does not contain acetaminophen, which is the ingredient in Tylenol. And believe it or not, although that sounds like a benign drug, acetaminophen, that's actually the dose-limiting problem for a lot of these people. So in that sense, having a drug without that acetaminophen in it is a good thing, and maybe doctors will be able to prescribe something like Zohydro instead of the drugs they're already prescribing.
Mm. And you talked about the 100 million Americans who suffer some form of intense or chronic pain. But I guess the concern is with this new drug that lots of opioid-type painkillers have come on the market saying that they're going to be targeted for people with specific needs. But then over time, patients start demanding these drugs who maybe weren't in that target group to begin with, so that you do get a spread in the availability of these opioids.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate concern, frankly. Once something is out there, people can get it. But I do want to say, in general, it's not the pain patients who abuse these drugs. It's the addicts. And they're really almost two separate populations. So, I mean, it is true. The latest data I've seen from the federal government shows that 4 out of 5 people who newly go to heroin have taken prescription opioids first. But the key is they have not been taking them as pain patients. They've been stealing them and borrowing, if you will, the drugs, and taking them illegally, not for non-medical reasons. So it's really two different behaviors here.
Right. And Judy, we've just got about 30 seconds here or so left. But it seems that this is a classic case that comes down to the risk-benefit that yep. society has to think about with every new powerful painkiller, that there's obviously a benefit to people who suffer from chronic pain, but it seems as if people are now saying the risk is when you take into account the potential new pool of addicts may overwhelm the benefit.
Except that there's a risk to not treating people in chronic pain as well, and the risk of suicide for people in chronic pain is twice that for people not in pain. So it's really complicated.
Well, Judy Foreman is author of A Nation in Pain, Healing Our Biggest Health Problem. She's a frequent contributor to WBUR's Common Health blog. She has written about the painkiller Zohydro. We've got a link to it at commonhealth.wbur.org. Judy, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.